always on the go. Petty discern, bringing heat. Bullies in school, keeping it clean. Playing with the chill, smooth with the flow. Bring up the stats, every know you know. Change is the boss, watch what it takes. PG is the show that the base shakes. Questioning this assumption where opinions collide. Hostage, sharp minds, no place to hide.
Going on, NDO. I am here with Freak, Joker, Andy, and Pat today on PTD. We got four big topics to talk about. We're heading into block five here. Actually, we're approaching block six in the NDL. Season four is flying by with this game. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good yourself?
I'm doing great. Busy Tuesday here at work and just taking a little lunch like everybody else. What about you, Joker? How are you feeling this morning?
Feeling great. Feeling great.
What about you, Andy?
We're good. Hanging in there.
Andy's first appearance on the show. Pat, what do you think about that?
I just, you know, was excited to hear the guy speak. So here we are. And doing great over here, Tim. Definitely some elephants in the room. I love it. Here we go.
We're going to jump right into the topics today for the show. This is episode four of PTD for season 32. Freak, this question's for you. We've had plenty of good games over the past few days. Which results have caught your eye?
The one result that has caught my eye was Iowa beating Northwestern by a lot from what I saw. It's a little shocking because Northwestern, yes, he had some suspensions. I don't know if his players were suspended for this game, but 38-8 does not seem Putty Roosevelt like. He was taking down competition like there was no tomorrow. And that's the one that has caught my eye the most, especially with the Big Ten, because now Big Red is up there with Oregon atop of the division, atop of the conference.
What about you, Joker? Anything caught your eye over the last couple of days?
14 in the fourth quarter and losing the football game. I mean, that's got to be tough because when you're a team like Texas Tech, you could maybe afford one loss, and we've talked about it in prior seasons. He's going to be every game now. It's like a playoff game for him. So those were the two surprising scores for me, for sure.
All right. I guess I'll go with one here, even though the guy who didn't want two teams to be taken took two teams in front of me there. Let's see here. I guess it's been, I don't know what day was it last week with the USC Wisconsin game was last week. But, I think just if you check out, I think I put out that blind resume thing earlier in the, USC hasn't had that many big games and then lost that one, put them down to number 18 in the coaches poll. Kind of been saying it for a few weeks. He can't lose that Notre Dame game at the end of the year. And he's kind of like how Pat said with Texas Tech that he planned the playoff the rest of the way.
Do you guys, and anyone can speak up to this one, do you guys have any contenders that maybe turned into pretenders that weren't mentioned? Maybe people borderline or people you thought were going to compete for one of those number one bids and ended up losing?
I'll jump in. Just really quick, I think this one's very surprising. You take a lower-rated team like TCU to the playoff last year. We're talking about Louisville here. He's basically all but out. Will maybe not even make the top 25 the rest of the year unless he wins out. I think he's just completely eliminated himself. He's obviously 4-4 now in that game against Clemson. He went down 28-0 in the first quarter. Pretty surprising because he got an improved, you know, a better team than he had last year.
Anyone else?
I'll follow up. I was thinking about Oregon. You know, they are a contender. They're still going to stay contender, but I feel as if he should have 35 someone last night. And I don't know how he's going to, how the rest of the season is going to play out for him, because, you know, he should be in the talk for CFP all the time with that team. But that's been my pretender.
What about I can take one that was kind of off the radar. That
I'll go out to the Mountain West. Say maybe not a contender for the P4 ones, but a G5. It was San Diego State. Obviously, a lot of people had him potentially getting in, and not off to a great start. 1-3.
What about you, Andy?
I was going to take the one that was kind of like. They were a bit of a pretender under the radar, Northwestern. They had a chance with the schedule that they had. They didn't have too many crazy games. And once they, I feel like the loss to Iowa is going to haunt them the rest of the year. If they could have went the 11-1 route with the loss to just Ohio State, they could have kind of done the real life Indiana, win your games in the big conference, lose one, and squeak their way in. But I think they might be toast now, even with just one loss.
I'm surprised. What do you guys think about Old Dominion's loss? Obviously, he was kind of hovering there in that top 25 and being the undefeated team in the Sun Belt, who's represented the college football playoff over the last couple of years.
I watched the game because I played the owner about 25 minutes later before he exited stage right. The Old Dominion guy threw obviously he's put up some highlights of his tailback, and if you shut that guy down, he's in trouble, and it was very clear in that game. Threw multiple interceptions into double coverage and really couldn't throw the ball, just kept scrambling with his quarterback because, you know, the guy was only dropping eight guys in coverage, so he was just doing a really good job covering. So that was kind of the recipe for a disaster for ODU, is make him throw the ball.
Yeah, I was just like piggybacking on that a little bit. Whenever you have the smaller team against the big team, the offensive line, defensive line matchup, and you're all about the run game, kind of can kind of kill you.
We'll jump into the next topic here, Joker. You're up here. What are your thoughts about the upcoming college football playoff reveal that should happen sometime this week? Do you expect anything else other than the SEC to control most of those at-large bids?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think you're going to see a lot of teams in the SEC. I think Ole Miss is going to be your clear-cut number one. But, you know, you look at some of the other conferences, there's a chance maybe dude from the ACC. Obviously, Oregon's going to be in there. Notre Dame's probably going to be in there. But I think it's going to be heavily SEC loaded.
Yeah. I'm curious where they, first of all, which group of five team that they put in. That'll be interesting for the first one, because those that really has to sort itself out. I would guess it's Central Michigan. But I'm curious what they do with Oregon. 16th, I believe, or 17th in the Massey overall. Bottom 10 schedule in the entire league. Close one with, no offense, a middling Michigan team last night at home. So just curious where they place his team, because you could argue right now, if you're going off Massey ratings, that one of the group of five teams deserves the four seed over Oregon, because you can't go off what he's done in previous seasons. It's this season.
And just to piggyback real quick off Oregon, Pat, you brought up his strength of schedule. He's one of only two opponents in the NDL who's three opponents actually that have a only his opponents are 17-51, which is by far the worst opponent record percentage. There's other people that have opponents with less wins, but they played way less games, the opponents.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you saying I was his best opponent at 3-3?
I think you probably are.
Yeah. You were UCLA. UCLA's 3-5, but 3-3 in conference.
But, I mean, and then, you know, obviously Michigan took him to the wire at home, and so it'll be really interesting. What about you, Andy?
I honestly will be interested to see, you know, if there's any ramifications from the whole 35 gate in Texas, if they punish them, you know, first time out, if that's a that's a thing with that. And then Oregon obviously was the big one because I like I said, I put out that blind resume thing and they ranked actually below their conference mate who had a loss in Northwestern in that one. I feel like they've almost pretty much have to go undefeated. The resume wise, obviously we're going to, Shell's a good coach, all that, been good for years, but if we're looking at straight resumes, his resume is on par, its strength of schedule is on par with Georgia Southern, Florida Atlantic, Utah State, and he has a significantly better team than those guys. So he should be wiping the floor with people so far.
So are you saying that that great out-of-conference schedule that he had put together should definitely affect him negatively?
I mean, should.
Hopefully the CFP takes a look into that. Honestly, I believe that the SEC will happen to have the most teams in the CFP when it first is released. Now, your number one team could be very interesting. I definitely think it's probably going to be Ole Miss. They're 6-0, right?
They're undefeated. Should be, yeah.
7-0.
7-0.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my apologies. 7. I got you. They should definitely have the one seed, and then I actually agree with that in regards to the possibility of maybe the group of five school may be higher than Oregon just due to the strength of schedule, and they may take the four seed when it is first initially released. However, we're not a part of the CFP, so we'll see what they decide when it happens to release. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing who's up there and who's going to be up there in 3 more weeks.
Now, I do believe they only take the first because their meeting was potentially supposed to be this past weekend. And so I know they only use a certain amount of the blocks, like leading up to it. So I'm not sure if they just take the first four blocks only because the week just opened. And so that way it doesn't give anybody an advantage that was able to play their two games on a Saturday. And so I think he takes block four games, if I'm not mistaken, the committee does. So the only potential for those first four blocks. And so like the Texas loss would probably not, I think the Texas loss may have been a block five game. And so that is obviously going to be in the voters' minds, but I don't think they're supposed to use it.
I think Texas loss was block four. I think that was like Thursday night, maybe. It was during the polls while the polls were out. So like some people had submitted their polls already kind of deal.
Yeah, that was week 7.
Okay.
It's a tough one for the committee this year. I thought it was kind of cut and dry last year, minus TCU getting in. I thought it was pretty clear that Marion should have been in there. But this year they've got a real conundrum on their hands with this SEC thing, because if you know, you don't use the Massey ratings by themselves, but like Tennessee is still, I believe, in the top 10 in the Massey ratings. And he has, he's 5-2. Georgia is now 5-2. Really tough spot. And it'll be interesting. A lot of these guys still have 5 games left. So it's like, I think Andy, you might've brought it up once in the chat that, do you look at a 3-loss SEC team over maybe, let's say, a 1-loss or 2-loss Miami team? Notre Oregon. Dame? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's I'm glad I was on the committee when it was pretty cut and dry. These guys got a tough job this year.
Well, and I mean, the first poll that comes out, I'm just going to run through these undefeated teams that aren't big power teams, or at least in power conferences. South Florida, 6-0. Florida Atlantic, 5-0. You have, we go down to the Conference USA, nobody's undefeated in there. You go to the MAC, Central Michigan, 7-0. Nobody in the Mountain West will probably be representing in the playoffs. The Pac-12, Washington State, 5-0. And they're ranked 12 in the people's poll. The SEC, Pat talked about that, a lot of ranked teams in those eight ranked teams. And then obviously the Sun Belt. So you have, you know, 3, and then you have Notre Dame with 1 loss. And so not in a power conference. So you got 4 or 5 teams that are flirting all in the top 25. And where does the committee put those teams as opposed to a 1 or 2 loss team? Do you have multiple power 5? And I'm going to count Notre Dame as a power 5 only because they're not in a in a group of the group of four power conference? Do you have multiple teams in the top 12? Do any of you guys have multiple teams outside of a power conference in the top 12?
Hey, Tim, just don't tell Nibbler that you put Notre Dame as a Power 5 school.
Well, I just, for sake of the automatic bid and stuff like that, I mean, just they're not in one of those group of four conferences per se. And so do you have two teams in the top five? Do any are in the top 12? Do any of you guys?
I mean, to be fair, I don't have any in the top
12. It'd be tough. I think if you got Georgia in there, then potentially, yeah, you get Notre Dame in there as well. I don't know how many teams they put in from the SEC, but, you know.
And Notre Dame's one loss is to Georgia, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's their one loss.
Didn't he kind of get thumped?
He did. First game of the season, though, so it's, you know.
It was at home. It was at home, though. Yeah, and they did get – they lost by, like, three scores.
So we put Chip for sure, and then maybe one of these AAC teams in. Gosh, what a conundrum. I'm telling you, and this is what's strange, too. You got this Charlotte owner here who's also undefeated in conference. Yeah, he's 5-2, but his opponent record is 34-28, so he's a pain in the ass, too. Like, just as a good player in that conference. Foreshadowing, maybe we'll talk about it.
On top of that, where are we including Washington State? Are they a Power 5 or are they a Group of 5 school?
Yeah, Tim, can you explain that?
I know they're a Pac-12, but, you know, how does that rate with the CFP?
So it's really weird with Washington State. It's not very clear if you look at the rules about Washington State, because they're in this is like a ghost season basically for the conference. They're considered a conference even without 10 teams, only because everyone departed the season before. Next season, both teams operate as an independent before the 2027 season, where the 2026, which is in 2 years, they'll be operating as a conference as long as they pick up two more teams. And so I don't know how the committee's rules are with them. I don't know if they'd be they're not a Power 5. They don't get it. There's no such thing as like an automatic bid to a certain conference. But there is no conference championship game. They do have a conference affiliate. And so I'm not 100% sure. When you read the rules, it doesn't clarify. Obviously, we never had to worry about it this past season with both teams in real life. And so I would assume that you would vote them as kind of like an independent, like Notre Dame. But that's just me. And how I read the rules is that they would be kind of considered like a Notre Dame team.
That's interesting. Sorry to get back on this. I was looking at the American, and as we were saying about the possibility of maybe two teams, Notre Dame and an American team or MAC team, looking at both South Florida and Tulane, they both have wins, three wins over Power 5 schools. So that's also another thing to take a look at.
The only thing I would say is not every Power 5 school is treated, they're not all.
I just don't think that the G5s get. Sorry.
You two can't hear each other. And so you guys are. Every time, Joker, that you've talked, it's only been when Andy's talking. Like, you never talk when one of us are talking.
My bad, Andy. I can't hear you.
You're good. I was just gonna say you look at those Tulane wins. Nebraska's obviously a big win, but then the two of those other Power 4 wins are they're combined 1-11 between Washington, whose owner left, and then Wake Forest, who's 1-6. The Nebraska win's big. Tulane still has to play Texas A&M, but like I said, Power 4, when you just call it a Power 4 win, it's not. Without looking at who the Power 4 win is, it kind of like, you know, discredits it a little bit whenever you realize two of those wins came against a team that combined 1-11. In the end, it'll come down to who wins a Tulane and USF game. I think one of them will just out the other one, but we'll see.
What were you going to say, Joker?
I agree with Andy.
He said he agrees with you, Andy.
Sounds good. I can hear him.
Okay. He can hear you, Joker.
I was going to say, I don't think G5 schools get enough. You're not going to get enough votes, or there's not enough people that put them in the rankings to get to move them up high enough to get a second school in there outside of Notre Dame. So that's just kind of my thought process. Is a lot of these undefeated teams ranked, they're ranked low and still not getting ranked by some voters. So I just don't see it pushing them over the hump into the CFP.
Yeah, and most of the time, the best part about this is that every year when the first initial second one comes out, it's always a bunch of debate. And a lot of times, like Pat said, it's kind of worked itself out so far this year to where really there's only like one borderline spot and a couple teams, that's it. And so obviously lots of football left to be played. I'm going to jump into the next topic here for Pat. Pat, we're currently in the middle of Block 5. What do you think about the AAC race? You were in that conference last year. We currently have 5 undefeated teams in conference play. Kind of break all that out. Who do you have for the AAC race with those undefeated teams?
Yeah, glad I got out of there. I'm going to go with FAU. I've heard word through the grapevine. He's a hell of a player. Obviously, schedule sitting at opponent record 20-28, but points for, 248 points against, 121. Very efficient with the football. It'll just be one of those things where, you know, does his team show up, his little digital guys, maybe on the road, against one of these tougher teams. But man, that if I had to like put money down on, you know, Bovada and I had $100 free play, that's who I would put it on.
Damn.
Sorry, Jokers, if you can hear me.
I chose not to hear you.
I would probably say the same thing, although I would, if I'm going to pick a different team, I will probably pick to win the conference. I'll take Tulane. FAU, the big difference between Tulane, USF, and FAU is FAU doesn't have to play Tulane and USF. USF has to play FAU and Tulane. Tulane has to play both the other top teams there as well. FAU just, they get past USF. Not saying they're smooth sailing, but, you know, ECU can be a problem, I guess. Temple, I don't think he's played in a game. Charlotte can be a problem, but the schedule is easier when a push comes to shove at the end, and there's a very good chance you could have that second seed be a, you know, tiebreaker scenario of the one loss teams.
What about you, Freak?
Just take a look at the three of their schedules, and I see that all three of them have Charlotte on their schedule. I mean, you got a big game this week for USF for week 10 against FAU. So it's going to be very interesting because you have USF, if they beat Tulane the week 5 game against Tulane and week 10, you know, they're smooth sailing into the conference championship. However, it can go any different direction. I mean, you got Tulane, who's got a tough schedule still with the American, and I crashed my car. Charlotte is just waiting to see what happens with all these guys playing against each other. I don't have a pick for who's going to win that conference. So, Joker.
Well, that's good. Way to answer the question. Go ahead, Joker.
My bad.
I mean, we'll find out this week where a lot of us sit because Florida plays Florida Atlantic and Tulane this week. One of the teams I think that doesn't have, you know, the best of record right now, but it was a tough matchup was Memphis. Runs the ball pretty well. Has been able to put up a lot of points. Just knocked off Arkansas, so I even think he, you know, coming out on top in the conference. No, but could be a tough game for some people as they could, you know, continue to play. And you know, as a few people have already said, Charlotte's pretty darn good as well. So this conference should get some serious look as far as maybe a contender getting into the CFP, even with one loss. There's a lot of good coaches in here and good games.
Yeah, and I'll jump into the next. We'll go to the next question here. This one's for Andy. Andy, respect and communication. We have a unique league with over 100 owners in it. This type of league is not common. How important is it to respect and communicate with each other, coach, even when you have a different opinion or you don't like each other or you don't know them?
Giving the new guy the banger to end it off here, start up the controversy, huh? In general, I know that we had the recent game, Vandy in Texas. Vandy had an issue with him scoring. Texas didn't. There's no communication there. This is the first half point. It would be to go up 31 kind of deal. I think in there, like, you know, you have an issue with someone trying to score in the first half up 24, you have to say it, and you can't be mad about it after the fact. You know, if you go from there, and just, I know I had a game in a beefy game. It might have been like a 28-point game in the first half. Guy said, let's just kneel this thing out, basically, you know, run the clock out in the second half and get out of here. I think the guys who have been around a long time kind of forget what it's like to be new. I know I said that at one point. Like, everyone has their preconceived notions of what the league is and how it should work. And then some things are... some things are told well, you can understand well, but you have to remember that a lot of the new people are also aren't like me or some other guys who just live in that live chat, just knowing everything and knowing what's going on and all that kind of stuff. It's a tough thing. It's never going to be perfect. Not everyone's ever going to be happy. There's a lot of issues that are going to happen, but that's not to say that there aren't a lot of people who are willing and helpful. I had a lot of guys help with me through DMs and just random questions in the live chat when I was first starting. Like I said, it's not going to be perfect. I don't know how else to say. There's some things that can be done more. There's some things that are done enough, and some guys don't want to learn. And I do think, I know RB has been kind of taking some slack about the new coach hater, but I see where he comes from at times with certain things, and then it's other times it's like, you know, not all of us have been here for 20 some seasons. We don't know everything. It just is, you know, like I think I said at one point too, all vets aren't always right and new coaches aren't always wrong. You know, vets are right a lot of the time. We understand how it works. And actually, I think, I think you said at one point that actually like rang true to me that I honestly never processed in my mind. A new guy doesn't go to work and then try to change everything and tell everybody this is what I think you should do. I honestly never processed to me like that, but once you said that, I was like, yeah, you know what, honestly, that makes sense. It's kind of like, I think some new people are just trying to get vantage points, and that's what I do at times. I kind of always try to get both sides of the coin and then let people go where they are from that. But you know, kind of went on a diatribe there, but it's about where I am on it.
About you, Freak?
I mean, respect and communication are key in this league. You know, we, as mentioned in the question, we have 100+ owners. If we don't communicate with each other, whether if we see something right or whether we see something wrong, even if it's to possibly warn someone what maybe another coach may ding them on in the future, you know, to communicate with the coach. You know, if you see something in the game, whether it's your opponent or it's, you're just live streaming the game watching and you may see something, though it doesn't hurt to just be like, yo, you know, hey, just be careful with this. You know, you ran two fake punts, don't run a third, or, you know, something so simple can avoid something being dinged on in the future. I mean, this league's been around for 20+ years. Why, you know, as a veteran, I'm here to help the rookies. I like all the competitions coming in, and it's all about trying to improve the game, improve your experience for the future.
Yeah, what about you, Joker?
You know, I think obviously I kind of agree with what everybody said here. You know, I think there's a lot of different heads in this league, and the league makes it fun. I think simple communication can go a long ways. And, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, I think people owning up to things when it, you know, it doesn't go their way or make a mistake. I think that that goes a long way. It's simple, my bad, or I didn't mean to do that, or whatnot. You know, kind of get level-headed and makes things better. But ultimately, 100-plus people all operating on their own time. I think you can respect people's time and just communicate. That goes a long ways.
What about you, Pat?
Yeah, someone that was in here week one, season one. I just think it's really important to look at other people's perspectives instead of just your own. I'll leave it as simple as that. You try to put yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, certain people in this league that are new will probably never lose a game by 35 and know what it feels like. So instead of being a dick, maybe try to understand where the other person is coming from sometime in your, you know, in the near future would be nice. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a hammer that's going to continue to probably be getting railed in and talked about, and it's always a big discussion in the NDL. And it's not just this last game of Vandy, Texas. This has always been a hot topic in the NDL, predating the game 10 years ago. It's always been a topic of the respect and what is the NDL way, and how do you show people what the NDL way is, because it's not really set in stone exactly what it is and isn't. Is that these? I think you guys all hit it on the nail here. Is that communication is key in the league? It's not a NCAA league. It was never designed to only be that. It's grown into a giant community. There's lots of other games these guys play together. There's different groups. They visit outside of the chats. You guys have noticed there's 120 people in our league with all different personalities. You're gonna like some, hate some, dislike some. Never talk to any of them. But it's your responsibility as an owner to reach out to someone when something's going wrong. New, old, it doesn't matter. And it's really disheartening when you see the lack of communication being the ultimate cause of some of these issues that the admin have to deal with. It's just because people are so either stubborn, egotistical, or just don't understand. It's just to simply reach out to people and be acceptance of that, right? When someone reaches out to you and tells you that you're doing something wrong or you're doing something they don't like, don't be an asshole and say that it's with, you know, and then complain about your coaching reports when you get them, right? It's like, hey, I'm an asshole. I don't like how you're doing my coaching reports. Please change it. Like, just be nice, be respectful of people's time. It's a great community. Get involved in it. Visit with people. I tell people time and time again, get on the mic with people during your scrimmages. It changes your whole view on certain people if you talk to them. I think the media, we would probably all agree, being on media shows together and stuff, we get to know each other a lot more, and it's a lot harder to dislike people when you get to know their personalities and their takes and everything. Does anybody else have anything to say about this?
Yeah, who's got the xvideos.com going on in the background?
I think that's Andy at work.
Oh, Andy. Where do you work, bud?
Construction company.
Yeah, totally.
I actually tried to find out.
On a pipe?
Are you homie's boss?
Oh, well, I actually tried to find out from once I heard him on that one podcast if we actually worked together, because we've done stuff in North Carolina, but he didn't answer the question.
That wouldn't that be some shit if they had worked together?
Yeah, because I know we've done stuff in Raleigh in that area, so there's non-zero chance.
That's funny. Well, I mean, we're leading up to some big shows. Hey, Joker, what do you guys have for your beers, bourbon, and ball this Thursday?
Well, great stuff. We're really excited. Dr. Bush is going to be coming back. Donald Trump's going to be on the show. We got Miami, Florida State. And I think we're even going to do a little bit of a call with one other special guest that we're excited to bring on the show.
Man, that's exciting. That's Thursday night. What time does the show start?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. We're shooting for 100 million viewers. So please join on there.
Is that six specific?
Rarely. That's Pacific Standard Time.
Beautiful.
Nice. Nice. Nice and late. Most of the kid. Usually when I watch your show, I get to lay in bed. So my wife gets to listen to it too. She enjoyed Dr. Bush being on there talking about it. She was like, what are you listening to? What, yeah, and then we got game day on Saturday. We got the college football playoff release coming at some point, possibly on game day. Either that or it's going to be on the podcast on Sunday night. Pat, are you still a fill-in or is Jason back?
As far as I know, Jason's back. But, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is he in the United States?
I'm not sure. He's still posting weird-ass pictures of food. So,
yeah, I saw that. Just some average-looking potatoes with cheese on them.
Don't show those to Wilds.
Where's the rosemary?
Well, we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. Next PTD will be next week. You can message Freak if you have any topics you'd like us to talk about. He's the man to message.